everyone. Welcome back to the Film Fund Podcast. I'm your host, founder and executive producer at the Film Fund, Thomas Verity. I'm also an award-winning filmmaker, producer, and film festival judge. I started the Film Fund to give filmmakers an easier, alternative way to get their film funded. Instead of working on a screenplay, crowdfunding campaign, or grant application, you write one sentence pitching your film for a chance to receive up to $10,000 and other prizes to make it. Our Spring 2021 narrative and documentary funding contests are about to begin, so don't forget to submit your pitch. Check us out at thefilmfund.co to enter your one-sentence pitch for a chance to win up to $10,000 to make your film. And we want to remind listeners that contests happen regularly, so if you are listening at a later date, check the website at thefilmfund.co for the most up-to-date information. Today we have Ken Myers on the show, co-founder and president of Coral. Coral is a full-service production housing and concierge service, and they have pivoted a bit because of COVID, so we're going to have some super interesting stuff to talk about. Ken, thank you so much for coming. Could you give us a brief background about yourself?
Yeah, my pleasure, Tom. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, so a brief background for anyone who's local to the Philadelphia area, born and raised right outside the city, and grew up in a suburb called Lansdale, Upper Gwynedd, and actually graduated from high school there. And then when I finished, that's when the travel bug, so to speak, hit me pretty hard. Ended up moving out to San Diego, did a lot of my graduate work there. So did a good portion of my undergraduate in Sydney at University of Sydney in Australia. Developed a very interesting and newfound passion for China when I was in undergraduate classes and actually moved to Beijing, China for some time. Also working on my graduate studies there. After coming back, I was introduced to a German gentleman who owned a company, still owns a company out in Germany, in a town called Passau, very small town on the Czech and Austrian borders. Moved there with the idea of just living there for a year, ended up staying there closer to seven. Oh, wow. And worked throughout Europe, both with the European government, with the EU, European Film Commission, also on the privatized side with corporations and German businesses that were DAX listed, which is very similar to Dow Jones, basically the German stock market exchange. And eventually found myself back after about 18 years being away from the Philadelphia area, found myself back here. Met a guy who became my business partner, and we fired up this current iteration of Coral.
Very cool. And so did you always have kind of a connection to film? You said you were doing stuff with the films in Europe.
You know, that's a great question. Actually, I did even before that. Okay. So my introduction to film, he's actually still a very close friend of mine, actually came through a Craigslist ad back in 2006 when I was pretty freshly out of undergraduate school.
Okay.
Living in San Diego, you know, wanted to live sort of that beach life dream experience things before I hunkered down and actually worked a real job. So found myself working a lot of odd jobs. A lot of that, of course, as people can still relate to, came via listings on Craigslist. And interestingly enough, one day I stumbled across this post looking for a streaker for a television series called Veronica Mars. If anyone remembers that, that was starring Kristen Bell back in the day.
Like a streaker, like someone who runs nude across somewhere.
Exactly. I didn't really have, to be honest, I didn't have much context about what
that meant,
but I saw that it paid. Yeah, I saw it paid very well. And I reached out to the guy and he said, yeah, of course. Actually, no one else is interested in this stuff. No surprise. And he said, you've got the part. So I showed up to the set one day. This was in San Diego. They used to do all of the filming for Veronica Mars at Stu Siegel Productions in Poway. And I did about 10 takes in front of the entire cast and crew and all of the bystanders, extras, et cetera, et cetera. That was my first foray into the world of film and television. And that actually landed me gigs for about two seasons on Veronica Mars, a little less than two seasons. And then opened a funnel to other opportunities, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. That was really my first introduction to film and television. in a very loose sense, but
Yeah,
yeah.
that's a really interesting path because you went from talent to now this concierge service. So tell us a little bit about what Coral does, how it works.
Yeah, so Coral actually, we began the company, and Andrew founded it originally as an Airbnb supplementary company. So basically, what it was meant to do was digitalize the guidebooks for Airbnb
Okay.
hosts and guests. So anyone who's ever stayed in an Airbnb can relate to kind of how the process worked beforehand, where you come into the house, you look for that piece of paper on the coffee table or the dining room table with all of the instructions. But that just was sort of a clunky way to do it. And so Andrew had developed a system basically to create a web browser, lived in your web browser. You didn't need to have any Wi-Fi or internet connection to digitalize that guidebook so hosts and guests could keep that experience more tight and more seamless and efficient. So that kind of plays into the current iteration of what we're doing. But when Andrew and I got together, we were really in the thick of the alternative accommodation experience, where we were sort of an alternate to hotels and motels, a more extended stay experience, more a little bit more luxurious, but more expansive as well. And that was really coming into trend about 4 or 5 years ago, when Andrew and I were first introduced to each other and kind of first forayed into this. And we were working for some time with your everyday travelers, with your business
So the original
executives,
idea
with
had
your
nothing to do
diplomats.
with film.
The original idea had nothing to do with film.
Interesting.
No, actually did not. We were actually, the whole concept was based on providing an alternative accommodation experience for people who didn't want to stay in a hotel. I had stayed in hotels for years, traveling 4 or 5 days a week. So I understood the pain points of living on an extended basis in this sort of environment. And so we basically used all of our experiences to create a niche, which wasn't so much a niche after some time because there were so many other companies that were doing this. And how we fell into the film world was really accidental, because we were obviously on Airbnb, VRBO, Expedia, these platforms. And a travel coordinator by the name of Janelle Coleman, who's become a very, very good friend of mine, and is rising very quickly through the ranks at a major studio in Atlanta, she reached out to us and she said, "Hey, we have this film coming, and it's a feature, it's a big one. And the lead actor and his team are very interested in your facilities, in your units." And so basically, we sent them a bunch of photos and links and listings. They loved it. And they ended up moving in with us and staying with us. And that happened to be Creed 2 with Michael B.
Oh, no
Jordan
way.
and his team. And that really kicked us off. That was really the first sort of funnel into this world of film and television for hospitality and accommodations. We still didn't really know what we were doing. We were kind of in improv mode, for lack of a better term. But that really was that first channel into what we, are eventually doing, or what we're currently
And
doing.
when you say they moved in with you, do you mean these were properties that Coral owned, or was it still kind of you were the middleman between like a property owner who was renting out their house or condo or something like that?
Yeah, so this is really how this whole business of alternative accommodations came into play. Not all unlike this WeWork model, very similar in that we did not own the properties. What we would do is we'd take out a master lease, an agreement with the property manager and property owner, and we'd furnish outfit those on, say, a 12 to 18 month lease. We'd furnish and outfit those properties just as they would be for anyone in a hotel apartment like setting. So it'd be equipped with, television, internet, all the kitchenware you'd need, bedware, everything. We had a comprehensive housekeeping team that we worked with. So we didn't own the properties, but they were leased under our domain, under the company domain, and then they would be turned over and available for rent just or booking just as anyone in a hotel would do.
Got it. And so I guess once you had that big movie, Creed 2, you're kind of like, oh, I may be onto something here with film, and you more focus the company on doing films exclusively.
Yeah, so actually, it was a slow development. We thought, oh, could this be a one-off situation? And so we weren't really sure. We were grateful for this opportunity. We saw a potential niche in this, but really at that time, Philadelphia, there'd be a couple of features or TV series a year, but nothing tremendously stable. The state was still working on developing a tax incentive and promoting the film and television industry, which has come a long way in the past 3 to 5 years, very long way. But at that same token, it was really something where we said, okay, this is nice to have, but we really still have to focus on the core crux of the business, which was basically geared at tourists and business executives and diplomats. Pretty much anyone who was coming into town on a short, mid, or extended stay trip to Philadelphia. So it wasn't really until 21 Bridges came in and then Queer Eye came in where we started thinking, like, okay, we could potentially do this as a full-time business and really pivot to focus exclusively on film and television productions.
So as a filmmaker, as an actor, you said the lead actor was really interested in what Coral had to offer. What about it do you think appeals to creatives and filmmakers and actors?
Well, I think firstly, Andrew and our chief design officer, Vita Musakia, who's tremendously skilled and has worked in the entertainment industry for decades now, and Andrew under her tutelage, I think firstly, their design eye. We've always been at that forefront of that sort of design forward phase where we're ahead of the trend as far as, kind of the look of our units. So they're very stylistic. In very eclectic ways. So I think that appealed to these individuals as well who are used to, unique experience. I think the other thing that really set us apart was the experiential side. We're always very hands-on with our guests. We were available at all times to support them and help them. And as you know, Tom, in this industry, especially when you get to these above-the-line folks, the above-the-line folks would be, obviously your cast members. Your actors and actresses, your producers, your directors, your directors of photography, those folks, they're used to a very hands-on experience, and they'll pay for that as well. So that's something that I think we prided ourselves on, and we did better than anyone else. And the consistency we delivered on that high level was really sort of tantamount to a five-star hotel. So that quickly, gain their favor. And in this business, Tom, as you also know, it's very close-knit. So people talk. So, if we had a couple of good experiences with some above the line, high-end folks on the cast or production level, they certainly talk about that. And so that was something that spread quickly for other productions who were coming into Philadelphia to shoot.
Got it. And so let's say I'm, well, not let's say I am an independent filmmaker and I have a project I'm shooting. I don't have a huge budget for it, but I'm interested in Coral. Is this something that's accessible to low budget indie projects as well, or is it more geared toward those bigger studio type projects?
It certainly is accessible. There's no question about that. We've worked on some indie films, most recently one that was actually produced by Janelle, my friend I was mentioning earlier, who's a travel coordinator called Falls High. This is something we ran across the gamut. We didn't just work with major feature films or television series, but even sort of one-off lower budget independent films, television productions. We've worked with in the past as well. So, yeah, long story short, worked across a wide range of budgets.
Awesome. So the pricing can is kind of dependent on what the projects or the person's needs are.
Yeah, so really at first we began by having sort of fixed inventory. So there wasn't much wiggle room because the units that we had were the ones under contract or lease. So we also had our bottom line to meet. So we had to hold to a specific level, which was a little bit higher than maybe most of the productions could afford. So we were really in that sort of feature film realm, or those big budget TV series realms. As we continued to evolve, we became more of a production coordinator, housing coordinator for hire. where the productions would come to us and say, hey, here's our budget. This is what we can afford. What can you find us? Mm-hmm. We became more mobile in the sense that we weren't necessarily working with fixed inventory where we were beholden to particular prices, but we could go out there and say, okay, we know your budget is only $60, $65, $70 a night. Mm-hmm. Here's what we can find in and around the city of Philadelphia to help accommodate you. And that really gave sort of credence to the newest pivot that we've made in the company, because it allowed us to be a little bit more flexible and to work with a wider range of clients, and to also work with the ever morphing, as you know very well, Tom, the ever morphing, ever changing state and landscape of the film and television industry, where you're expected to be able to pivot very quickly in order to stay on top of the industry in general.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great idea to me. So you're actually, say I have a production and I am bringing a few people in from out of town. Instead of me trying to find stuff on Airbnb for them, I can kind of just come to Coral and say, hey, I have, you know, four people. Here's my budget per night. What can you find me? And you guys do the rest?
Exactly. Yeah. So basically it would be a call from either, you know, a production coordinator or travel coordinator to say, hey, you know, we have a production coming in into town. Here's what we have on a per diem basis for the accommodations all in. What can you do? Mm-hmm. And then we would go to work on that. So we actually started working even in other cities outside of Philadelphia, providing the same service, which was a further impetus for this evolutionary shift in the business model. But yeah, that's basically how it worked. And really the reason behind that was because it provided us with more opportunities. We could cast our net a little bit more because the budgets really vary. And especially if you're depending on, you know, Philadelphia is a really up and coming city for filmmakers of all types, but there's still a cap on the tax incentive, which means that, you know, there could only be so many larger budget productions every single year that could afford what we were originally looking for.
When you had the fixed housing.
With the inventory we had. Yeah. Exactly. So this really allowed us to cast our net and to become more mobile in our business approach to film and television productions.
Mm-hmm. And what do you guys have in store for the future? Continuing with this concierge model?
Yeah. So what we're actually really excited about, and this was kind of engendered by a conversation we had last year, because we provided some bubble support for very large productions and studios, and this was bubbled housing to sort of mitigate the transmission of the virus, so that productions could continue, come out of hiatus, could continue their seasons, or if they were in the middle of a feature production. We provided this service to allow for them to have a protected environment in which they could live and operate.
Are you able to talk about which,
but, you know, obviously,
which projects that was for?
Yeah, sure. We did a major one for Apple TV here in Philadelphia. It was a series from M. Night Shyamalan.
Very cool.
Called Servant. Yeah, and they unfortunately had to go, as did all the other productions, they had to go on hiatus out of an overabundance of caution and really, you know, due to some Motion Picture Association restrictions and union restrictions. So everyone was forced into hiatus March of 2020, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so we were approached by them, as well as a couple others, to create production bubble housing, so that they would have an environment to stay in, mitigate that transmission, as I mentioned before, and allow them to finish season two of Servant. And that went very, very well. I as to my, you know, best recall, we had zero transmissions during that time.
So interesting hearing this, because I was a few, I guess a month ago or so, I listened to an episode of How I Built This from NPR, and the episode is with M. Night Shyamalan, and he's talking about how everyone kind of quarantined for Servant and how they produced it. And so, and how they all lived in the same place and were separated. So I guess he was maybe talking about what you guys had arranged for him.
Yeah, I would assume. That's so, cool. We had 111 rooms, 109 cast and crew members. We even put built makeshift gyms and coffee cafes, coffee shops up there, so people could grab a coffee or use the gym without being exposed to others. So it's a really massive undertaking. And it was also very thrilling, I guess, to say, because of the fact that this came up so quickly and we only had about 3 to 4 weeks to actually do this. So the crunch was on, and you know, really tested sort of our business model.
As a Philly guy myself,
and our team was absolutely amazing.
As a Philly guy myself, sorry to cut you off. Which neighborhood was this in? I'm just curious.
It's in King of Prussia.
Oh, King of Prussia.
King of Prussia. Yeah, yeah, right. Not far from the King of Prussia
Got
Mall.
It.
So, and really we were sort of forced, to that location. It was a great location. The team was absolutely amazing. They did an amazing job. Great owner, very amenable to everything, very welcoming and hospitable. But you know, we had to choose that. Location wise, it wasn't the best location because of the fact that it's a good 45 minute drive from the studio. And so no one wants to do that back and forth every single day. So that was the one challenge. But the reason we had to do that was because it was really the only building that could, in an isolated fashion, host that many guests, that many folks from this production. So we were very fortunate to find that that location as well. So that's where it sort of that's where it sort of stemmed from. And then moving beyond that, we did recognize that this sort of bubble operation was not the most psychologically conducive to the mental well-being, of these cast and crew members, because you're just babysat 24 hours a day. And so we really had to think about what we were going to do moving forward as advancements in the treatment for COVID. And also in the rollout of the vaccine came out, because it really would render that obsolete.
So with the film fund, do you see any ways Coral could be used for some of our community members? Like maybe if they, I don't know, sometimes we'll partner with, you know, we give away Kidsplit gift cards, or we'll do, you know, some companies will sponsor a prize package or something like that. Do you think something like that could fit in with the film fund community? Like we could say, and I'm not asking you to sponsor anything right now, I'm just thinking out loud, but as a way for winners to use Coral services, I guess, like, I'm just thinking how that would work. I didn't have my coffee this morning, so I'm literally just rambling in circles, but my prompt here in the script is ask Ken about his association with the Film Fund and ask some of his favorite things and how they can use Coral. So I guess, how do you see scrappy independent filmmakers, which is, and more established filmmakers, but indie filmmakers using Coral? If that were to happen through the Film Fund, do you think, how do you see that working?
Absolutely. Well, it's quite easy now, and it's going to be quite easy in the future. So we are rolling out the only online digital housing marketplace for film, exclusively for film and television productions and studios. So it's sort of, if you know, everyone's interacted with their Expedias, with their Orbitz, with their Airbnbs before, it's sort of that model, but for film and television productions. And that is the sort of slant or the unique value behind that. It also has, it's going to have, that's what we're working now in the beta phase in. It's going to have an all-inclusive concierge function as well. And the great thing about it, it's going to be able to meet anyone's budget. So you'll go on to this particular platform or site via our link, and you'll input, you know, the area you're staying in, what your budget is, what sort of unit type you're looking for. Is it a single family home? It's more of an apartment style experience. And then through that, you'll be able to book directly online your housing experience for an extended stay.
And so even on a budget of like 8,000, which is sometimes an amount we give away depending on how many entries we get, that would work with Coral?
Exactly. Yeah, it's totally predicated upon what the property owner, because we partner with property owners. It's totally predicated upon what their rate is, but we work with property owners who have lower rates as well and can meet those budgetary needs. Now, the caveat is, at this point, we are not located in the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
we are only in Atlanta at this point because we want to litmus test
Got it.
this
Just
out.
for the
Obviously, with
online
Atlanta.
self-service kind of, not self-service, but the one you're talking about, that's just in Atlanta. The rest of the company's still in Philly and other locations.
Exactly. Yeah. So for the booking platform itself, we're only in the Atlanta market because we want to litmus test it out there because that's by far the largest production market in the world. They do upwards of 83 to 85 productions per year.
So they're
in
outpacing
Atlanta.
LA
so it's
now?
They're outpacing LA.
I did not know that.
Georgia has the most aggressive tax incentive in the country. It's uncapped. They also have a very big incentive for talent as well, providing tax incentives for studios to pay high-end talent, which is why it's a big plus for studios like Marvel and Netflix that have massive footprints down there. But I'm working very closely with the state legislature as well to increase the tax credit. And we call it the tax incentive. It's no longer a term, the tax credit.
Okay.
It's a tax incentive here in the state of Pennsylvania to really make Pennsylvania one of the nation's strongholds for film and television production. And also provide, to your point and to your mission, independent filmmakers with opportunities to realize their projects here in the state of Pennsylvania, especially those who are native to the state. So it's a big push for us to increase this. And to create more jobs, more job opportunities, and more production opportunities here in the state.
I mean, as a filmmaker, you know, from the Philly area, that sounds amazing to me. I hear about the tax credit, as it used to be called, now it's called the tax incentive. And it's always kind of seemed out of reach for indie filmmakers, people who I talk to, unless you have like a big feature you're doing. So, I mean, that sounds like an incredible thing. Keep talking to them for us, because I don't always want to have to move to another city across the country to get my productions made because of tax reasons. So that sounds great. Talking about the Film Fund and Coral, I mean, what are some of your favorite things about the Film Fund?
Well, I think it's really great what the Film Fund is doing to not just create awareness for the importance of production, especially here in the state of Pennsylvania and the area of Philadelphia, but also creating channels as well for younger, passionate filmmakers, people of who are on that younger end and maybe haven't yet hashed out their abilities, or maybe in their very nascent or early stages of this passion, but do have this and maybe don't even have an opportunity to receive the funding that they need in order to execute on their vision or their concept or idea. So I think it's great that there's that channel available for young, talented individuals who have sort of a passionate focus on creating opportunities within the film and television realm to realize that via you guys. And that's, I think for myself, and we talked about this as well, Tom, in the past, this is a big focus of mine moving forward, is providing educational opportunities for kids in not just the Philadelphia area, but across the state, to realize their dreams in the film and television production world, whether that's in front of the camera or behind the camera as a producer, camera operator, DP, writer, editor, et cetera, et cetera. I think that is a great thing what you're doing.
Thank you.
To provide these young kids with this opportunity to have that access or that pull to be able to actually get this up and running.
Yeah, and we are offering some educational resources too now. We have a YouTube series that has lots of tips. I mean, you'll learn a ton from watching that and listening to this podcast too. This podcast, I mean, this one's not as filmmaker focused. It's more about logistics around filmmakers and getting them what they need. But I mean, if you just spend time listening to us, we give tons of tips all the time. And we also relaunched something on our website called the resources page. And it has like sample kits you could put together for different budgets for your projects. It has a free ebook about pre-production. So yeah, we definitely want to get on that education front as well. Because there's so much information out there, but it's kind of hard to distill sometimes into, you know, what's worth watching and what's not. So we try to make the Film Fund a hub for not just funding for your projects, but also, okay, maybe I got this funding. How do I use it now? So we kind of want to take a comprehensive approach to that. Talking about your experience, you said you had experience in front of the camera, behind the camera. You know, now you're doing concierge services, so I guess that could be on the side of the camera, however you want to define that. What advice would you give to filmmakers, aspiring filmmakers?
I would just the first big piece of advice I'd give you, I'd give any aspiring filmmakers, is to have a tremendous amount of persistence. I listened to, I'm a huge fan of Bob Iger, who's the former CEO of Disney. And he talks about, you know, sort of his slow burn. And we always hear about these overnight success stories in film that really aren't overnight at all. People have been, you know, involved in the trenches for years, sometimes even decades. That really mirrors his sort of path to CEO as this, to CEO of Disney. And really at the end of the day, it's about having this, and I use this term a lot, stick-to-itiveness, but it's really having that persistence. It can be a very daunting industry to be involved in, because there's tremendous roller coaster experiences where you have these huge highs, you come down to these huge lows, and those huge lows oftentimes can be discouraging enough for people to say, I don't want to do this anymore. So the one thing I can tell anyone, you know, I'm 39 years old. I've been involved in some capacity in the film industry since I've been 22. So, you know, it's been a slow burn for me as well. And so I would definitely recommend have that persistence, and don't take the lows too low. Don't take the highs too high. Try to keep everything in perspective from a moderate standpoint. That's one big piece of advice that I'd give to folks. And then the other is to try to be ubiquitous. Any opportunities that you get, whether it's something that maybe, you know, might be outside the scope of your interest or your scope of your, what you perceive as your expertise, take that opportunity on. Never be, you know, too shy, or never be too into yourself, for lack of a better term.
I think that's great too.
Where you say, no, I'm not, yeah, where you say, I'm not going to do this. Because, you know, it's really about, in the film industry, it's really about showing your willingness to delve into all certain areas where maybe others may not be willing to. And I'm not talking about necessarily taking that that role as a streaker on a Veronica Mars production, but more so you can do that if you want, and that might take you certain places. But it's really about, you know, not turning your nose up at any opportunity, and being willing to, you know, take that chance, roll up your sleeves if need be, and really make yourself as ubiquitous as possible in a non-obnoxious way, of course.
I think that's amazing advice. I like your mention of the slow burn as well. And, you know, people who seemingly made it overnight, like you said, that doesn't happen. And I was thinking about the Safdie brothers. Everyone says they just, oh, they came out of nowhere with Good Time, and then they did Uncut Gems. It's like, who are these guys? They were making films for 10 years, as I learned, and I'm not an expert on the Safdie brothers or their filmography or anything like that, but I've been listening to more film podcasts lately, and that came up, and it's like, yeah, these guys, they were doing their own thing for about 10 years before people really knew who they were, from what I learned. So if that's not stick-to-itiveness or slow burn, I don't know what is. I think there are people like, I may be misquoting this or misreferencing this, but Morgan Freeman, I think, got his first major role when he was like in his 50s or something like that. So, I think slow burn and patience and persistence is really, really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it really can be a fickle industry. It can seem like a fickle industry. And so I think people who are consistent in that sense of what you describe are really valued because of the fact that they provide that sort of like even keeledness. And I think you need to have that in this industry. I think that's incredibly important.
Yeah. Ken, I want to thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today. Could you give us your social media channels where we could check you out, or maybe Coral?
Absolutely. Yeah. Come visit us. We're on Instagram at My Coral Home. That's MyCoralHome.com. Oh, sorry. At My Coral Home. There's no .com in Instagram, but if you want to visit our website, which by the way, is in a very intriguing state of flux right now as we start to upload these new features. We'd love to have you. It's www.mycoralhome.com. And there's also a messaging function, so you can feel free to reach out. I get messages directly if you have any questions or if there's anything anyone's wondering that wasn't discussed in this that I can be of assistance or support on.
One question I just thought of. Always happy to do that. Why is it called Coral? How did you guys come up with that name?
Great question. So that's funny. My dad actually just finally asked me
The film fund's name is very simple and obvious. I wasn't too creative on that one, but
I really like that one as well. But you know, it's funny how things come full circle. When Andrew had started the company originally as a software company, he envisioned sort of this like living infrastructure, not on like a coral leaf, a reef, this living infrastructure of, you know, interconnectivity. And then this became sort of this mantra for this community idea that we envision where, you know, it would be this living ecosystem of individuals living in our and occupying our units to create this community effect. And really that, you know, became less apropos in certain phases in between. Mm-hmm. But now we really see that coming back with our grand scheme. So it really just signifies or denotes, you know, like this interconnectivity that coral provides in not just the living and accommodations or housing perspective, not just from that perspective, but also from the perspective of, you know, connecting people together and providing this really unique experiential, overview or experience.
I think that's
for
great
these
imagery
folks.
Too, because the coral reef is something that's alive itself. So I think you guys hit the nail on the head with that one. Ken, thank you again. I want to plug the latest contest for the Film Fund. We are opening again on May 4th, which I hear is Star Wars Day. No affiliation with the Film Fund, but check that out. Spring 2021, we'll have narrative contest, we'll have documentary contest, we'll have tons of tips on our blog. So thank everyone for listening today. Our narrative contests are opening again, like I said, this Tuesday. So check out the website at thefilmfund.co to submit your entry, and check out our social channels at the Film Fund on Instagram. Facebook is Film Fund Co. Twitter is simply Film Fund. And remember to check our website regularly for the most up-to-date information on those contests. And again, check out our blog. It has great filmmaking and producing tips, so check that out. Sign up for the newsletter. Follow us on social to stay up to date on what's happening at the Film Fund. And like Ken and I were talking about earlier, we also have an ebook on that resources page on our educational front. Great tips on the pre-production process. So what that means is scheduling, getting locations, you know, hiring people, having conversations with the producing team and the cinematographer, all of that stuff, everything that happens before you actually start recording. So very, very important stage. So you'll be able to learn how to do everything in that ebook. And we also have merch, this hat I'm wearing, this t-shirt, plugging lots of stuff today. So check that out as well, filmfund.co/merchandise. All right, all the plugs are done. Ken, thanks again. Everyone, thank you for listening. Or if you're watching this, thanks for watching. Tune in every Friday for new episodes. Ken, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up?
No, just thank you for having me on, Tom. I really enjoyed the conversation and really, really appreciated the
questions.
Likewise,
Ken. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.